Welcome to the Bethany Covenant Church Sermon Podcast. We are a multi-generational community in Berlin, Connecticut. Our services are held Sundays at 9:30 a.m., and you can find out more about us at www.bethanycovenant.org.
Amen. Thank you. And good morning. It's good to see you. Good to be with you all this morning. What a delight it was last week to be here and to witness four of our younger students be baptized, to enter into the waters of baptism and proclaim the grace and love of God. So I invite you to join me in continuing to pray for them as they continue to grow in their faith and as they follow Jesus. I want to thank Pastor Howard Burgoyne for bringing God's word to us last week as he opened up again that story of the baptism of Jesus. And we saw together how his baptism shapes us as well. This morning, we'll look at an episode in the Gospel of Matthew that takes place shortly after Jesus was baptized. We read in Matthew 4 that from that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, I think we should stop there and get our bearings because Matthew is saying from that time on. So we need to ask, well, what time is he talking about? Where is this set in the life and ministry of Jesus? Well, Matthew had just written about Jesus being baptized, and then shortly after that, Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit, we're told, into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil. And Matthew tells us that Jesus successfully navigated those trials and temptations. He didn't give in. He was proven to be strong in his faith and his commitment to his Father. And then Matthew says that Jesus left his hometown of Nazareth and went to live in the town of Capernaum in Galilee. And it was there that Jesus began to preach and teach. And while Jesus was based in Capernaum in Galilee, as he was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. And so this is how Matthew begins his account of what we might call the formal or official phase of the life and ministry of Jesus. The important shaping and growing and forming work of Jesus' life, growing through childhood and through adolescence, becoming an adult, that work had been done. And now he was entering a new phase. And he begins this important ministry with a stroll on the beach. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw these two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." And at once they left their nets and followed him. So Jesus that day encounters this sibling team of commercial fishermen. And it turns out their lives will never be the same. This day will forever mark an inflection point in the life of Simon and Andrew. Their lives will surely be permanently divided into pre-follow me and post-follow me of the beach encounter with Christ that day. And the reason that this was such a monumental moment in their lives was yes, the call of Jesus, but also their response, that they chose to leave everything and answer that call. Now, Matthew doesn't record any words, anything spoken from Simon and Andrew that day, but we're told that they dropped their nets at once and followed him. Jesus had a plan for their lives, and he gave them an invitation. Jesus was calling them from old patterns into something brand new. Now, this spring, we're going to be exploring together how Jesus is always in the business of creating something new in the lives of the people he calls. People who find ourselves stuck in old patterns. The patterns of the past that might not always be bad things, but often, usually, aren't the best things to which God invites us. Jesus burst onto the scene of human history to show us a new way to live, a way that is rooted in love for God and love for others. Just a couple of weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we celebrated Jesus' victory over death. And the Bible tells us that Jesus, in the act of his resurrection, actually becomes the firstborn into a whole new creation, a whole new kingdom that God is bringing to earth. And by the grace of God, through faith in Jesus, we get to get in on this new thing, this new life, this new creation. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 5 that if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. The New Living Translation puts it this way: anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. There's a rebirth, a recreation. Paul says that a new life is available to anyone who belongs to Christ, who says, I no longer will take charge of my own life and I surrender it to you. The old has gone and the new life is here. This is the reality that we explored together during the season of Lent as we saw how the Holy Spirit has the power to bring about a new thing in our lives, the power to perform an exchange, to lead us from living in that and moving us into the this that God intends. The Spirit invites us and empowers us to hear God's invitation to lay down the old things that trip us up and weigh us down and pick up new things that are part of God's invitation in our new lives. The Spirit allows us to live out and embody the fruit of the Spirit. Now, during these next several weeks together, we'll look at one particular transformed life that we see in the New Testament. We'll explore the idea of the life that is new in Christ, that's resurrected from the old and moved into the new. We'll be examining together the life of Peter. Peter, as we find him in Matthew 4, named Simon. Now, Matthew hints that Simon will be renamed, but that's a story that I'll leave Pastor Chris to bring to us in a few weeks. This morning, we meet Simon and Andrew as they go about their daily business of catching fish to make ends meet. James and John, we're told, are another brother pair that Jesus called that day. But we'll look specifically at the call to Simon Peter and Jesus' invitation and promise: follow me, and I will make you fish for people. This is the first movement we see in Peter's life, the first transition, the first awakening into some new creation as he moves from being a fisher of fish to a fisher of people. He was being called to something brand new, something he had apparently never done before. As someone who had taken up the family trade of fishing there on the Sea of Galilee, we can only assume that Simon had never been invited to follow in the footsteps of a rabbi. He'd never been sent to fish for people. He maybe didn't even understand exactly what that meant. But there was something compelling, something captivating about this invitation from Jesus: come and follow me. And so he dropped everything and responded. Jesus called him that day to something new. But he told Simon, you're still going to be a fisherman. It was just that he was now going to have a different kind of catch. Somehow he'd be fishing for people. Now, Peter might not have understood what Jesus was getting at, but as he responded to that call of Jesus and began to follow him, he would see, he'd have a front row view to what Jesus was inviting him to do. This mission of Jesus, to which Peter and these others were now invited to join. And on this mission, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Now, as you hear this summary, this synopsis of Jesus' activities in Galilee, you might wonder, well, why would Jesus want or need fishermen to pull this off? You look at the list of things that Jesus is doing as he begins his formal ministry, and maybe you wonder, well, if this is the mission, why didn't he go after teachers and gifted communicators? Why didn't he call doctors and say, follow me? Why didn't he find spiritual experts? Why not look for someone with an impressive resume in exorcism? If this is the kind of work Jesus was doing, why did he go after fishermen? Now, it's possible that on the beach that day, as he called to Simon and Andrew, that Jesus was having a bit of fun engaging in wordplay. Perhaps he was just using fishing as a metaphor. But if we look at the whole story of the Gospels and the things that these and other disciples would go on to do, I believe we see that Jesus, as part of bringing about a new creation, a new purpose, a new life in the life of Peter and these others, was actually giving them a new mission with a new priority that would invite them to reimagine and repurpose some of the skills and experiences they already had. Because as a commercial fisherman, Peter was no doubt used to working odd and long hours. And that was a skill that was about to come in handy. Peter was used to sometimes going out on the water and seeing great results. And other times, he got skunked. And I'm sure he wondered, well, am I doing the wrong thing? Is my technique wrong? Or am I just in the wrong place at the wrong time? And I imagine there were times as he followed Jesus when his results would vary and he'd wonder, is it me or is this just the way it's happening? Peter was used to physical work that got him strong and tenacious. And as he followed Jesus, he was about to be tested mentally and spiritually, and he would grow strong in those ways as well. Peter, we know, would travel by boat in search of bountiful fishing grounds. And we see the disciples often traveling with Jesus by boat. And we learn they didn't need to hire a captain. As a fisherman, Peter knew that if he was going to work alone, he would have limited impact. He knew that working with a partner meant he could handle a much larger net. And as a disciple of Jesus, he would learn the power of committing to work with fellow followers of Christ. Peter knew that going after different kinds of fish and going out in different weather conditions would call for different methods, different approaches as he fished. And later, I'm sure, as he was fishing for people, he would stop and think, well, who am I with? And what's my context? What's the setting? And what's the best technique? What approach should I adopt? I wonder how many times Peter remembered Jesus telling him, follow me and I'll teach you how to fish for people. And in those 3 years of following Jesus, how many times did he say, you know what, this is a lot like fishing. The point is that in the process of birthing a new creation in the life of Peter, even as the old was beginning to be gone as Peter dropped the nets and followed Christ, The old wasn't useless. It wasn't wasted. Jesus didn't ask Simon, why are you wasting your time fishing? Why are you honing skills that don't really matter? He simply redirected Simon and said, keep fishing. Just follow me and we'll do it a bit differently. As we look at the life of Peter over our weeks together in these next few weeks of the series, we'll be learning about his life, we'll be seeing his transformation, we'll see him emerge into a new creation. But my prayer is that we're not just learning about Peter, but we're examining our own lives as well. Because it's God's call in each of our lives, as we say yes to the follow me of Jesus, that there would be a new work taking root in us. There'd be a new creature being born in us. And we'd hear God's invitation to open ourselves up to God's transforming work in our lives. As we look at the life of Peter together, my prayer is that his story would provide a lens for us to examine our own lives. Peter, as we see in the Gospels, as part of his transformation into a new creation, ended up taking on a completely new vocation. He made the move from full-time fisherman on the sea to full-time follower of his teacher and Lord Jesus. That old vocation had gone. The new calling had come. But Peter's old life and previous skills and experience, as I've said, were not useless. Peter had a ton to learn about what it would mean to follow Jesus. But he wasn't a completely blank slate. There was a lot that he brought with him. Now, some of us, as we answer the call to follow Jesus in our lives, may be called or have been called into a completely new vocation. Sometimes the call to discipleship results in something as dramatic as dropping nets, leaving everything and following Christ. But for most of us, this call into a new life of following Jesus isn't quite as dramatic. Perhaps our life situation doesn't change overnight like it did for Peter. But we do find that we've been invited into some new way of living. We do see that God is doing a new thing in us, creating a new creature from the inside out. And we've been given opportunities to live life in a new way, even if our context doesn't dramatically change. We see that our new life in Christ allows us to see life and live life wherever we are in a new and renewed way. All of us who have responded to that follow me invitation of Jesus are called by him to use whatever we have in the mission he gives us for his kingdom purposes. He gives us a new life, gives us a new mission that will include opportunities for us to do new things, but also to reimagine and repurpose our skills, our gifts, and our experience for his kingdom use. Part of my own story of following Jesus involves what was a pretty dramatic change of leaving an engineering career to answer what I heard as a clear call from God into full-time ministry. And in some ways, that was a pretty abrupt shift. As I moved into those rhythms and nuances of full-time church ministry, initially serving as a youth pastor, I found that ministry life wasn't exactly what I expected it to be in every way. I found that I wasn't exactly used to it. It took a lot of adjustment. I had clearly left behind an old life. But what was interesting to me is I found that in the new life to which I was called, as I followed the call of Jesus into ministry, those experiences, those skills that I thought I had left behind actually turned out to be pretty helpful. They were by no means irrelevant or wasted. For example, I found that my mind for numbers was actually still pretty helpful. I still had to budget for mission trips. I still had to put together plans. I found myself developing an uncanny ability to remember phone numbers back before our cell phones did that for us. I discovered that so many ways that God had wired me and created me were still wonderfully useful in his kingdom work. They weren't idle. but they are now repurposed and reimagined and still useful. I found, for example, that the kinds of teams I had been used to working on and engineering projects had taught me a lot about working in groups that were made up of really diverse people with diverse backgrounds. Helped me learn to work across cultures as I spent time working on projects. In fact, some of my engineering work sounded like the start of a joke. A Mormon, a Muslim, an atheist, a Catholic, and a Protestant walk into a planning meeting. I found myself working on projects across continents, working with Swedish colleagues, and on teams of people who had Jordanian, Indian, Asian, and African descent, all on the same project. I worked with a research team visiting from North Dakota and taught them how to eat a lobster. Truly a cross-cultural experience. I discovered that I actually had a richness of experience that God was going to use that wasn't going to waste as I followed Jesus into this new rhythm and new mission and new set of priorities. And my time in the engineering world helped me understand and be able to connect with people with similar backgrounds. Sometimes people will hear I'm a pastor, and then they'll try to explain their more technical job to me using small words. And they'll say, well, you might not really understand this. I'll say, try me. All of us have skills and talents and experiences and inclinations and personality traits that God can use as we say yes to the follow me of Jesus. God is doing an amazing transforming work in our lives. He's making us new. There are old things that we are leaving behind. There are new things that we are picking up as we focus on new priorities and sharpen our kingdom focus. When it comes to our transition from being lost to being found, when it comes from moving from death and sin to new life and abundant life in Christ, yes, the old has gone and the new has come. But we've all been beautifully and wonderfully made. And the way that God has created us and the experiences we've had and the story of our lives is not something God's going to waste. This morning, I'm going to invite you into a time of reflection. I'll invite our worship team to come up now. And as you think about the skills and gifts and abilities and experiences and history and stories that God has blessed you with, I invite you to ponder this question that's up on the screen. You'll see it here, you'll see it online as well. How might God be calling you to use your abilities, your talents, your experience for the sake of the kingdom as you respond to the follow me invitation of Jesus? Peter was told he'd still be fishing. He'd still be relying on much that he had learned. In these moments of prayer, I'd invite you to listen for the voice of God as he puts his finger on those things that are already in your life, inviting you to think about how you might use those in his kingdom purposes. Would you join me in prayer? Can we have the question up on the screen, please? Lord Jesus, thank you that you still call people to follow you. Thank you for inviting us to follow you, to reorient our lives toward you and your kingdom way of living. We thank you, God of transforming love and grace, for making us new creatures, new creations in Christ. Show us the old ways that still need to be stripped away. And as your Holy Spirit works in us, reveal to us opportunities to use all that you've given us so that we might be faithful and fruitful disciples of Jesus. We ask and pray this in his name.